This is Leafs Game Night on TSN 1050 and the Leafs Radio Network. The Leafs live here.
Back up it comes to Mitch Marner as they come back into their own zone. Ryan O'Reilly, Marner sees a chance, draws in, Marner round behind the goal, looks out front, he thought he had Tavares, he is upended, and now two on one, back the other way, Morgan Riley in the middle, and scores, Ryan O'Reilly.
And that's how it painfully ended for the Leafs, 3-2 St. Louis, wins it in overtime, Todd Crocker with the call, subbing for Joe Bowen, and oh so close, Gibby, oh so close.
Well, you know what, they played pretty well the last two periods. They started to take the game over in the second. Third period was, I thought they played an outstanding period. I mean, Binnington had to come up with some huge saves for them, as did Freddie. So I thought both goalies were outstanding tonight. The game could have gone either way. And unfortunately, in the overtime there, Mitch was, ran into the referee and had his pass picked off anyway. So it wasn't so much the referee's fault, but it did come into play on the St. Louis 3-on-2 attack, because Mitch was all obviously just trying to get up and get his way back. But heck of a shot by O'Reilly, barring down on the blocker side. So it's turned into an outstanding game. The first period was a bad period for the Leafs, but for the last 40, I thought they were pretty darn good.
Postgame Roundtable is brought to you by your Ontario Subaru dealers. Make tracks to your local Ontario dealer. Come in for a test drive today. Subaru. Confidence in motion. Back to St. Louis we go. Jimmy Ralph standing by. Ralphie, pretty good lesson for both teams there. The Leafs, with the first 20 minutes, would be regretting that. And the Blues, with the final 40 minutes, saw their game erode, and it almost cost them here.
Well, I think you get a little bit of confidence. You come into the game with three straight shutouts. You think, man, 2-0 into the third period. You know, this is nothing. But I agree with Gibby. The Leafs, I thought their second period was actually their best. And they weren't able to find themselves in the scoreboard. And isn't it that the usual way, the hockey gods, that if something's going to end, the shutout streak going on both sides, it's a couple of bounces and it's 31 seconds apart. So, from a Toronto standpoint, they did stay with it. I didn't like the number of giveaways in their own end. And I think that's going to bring up the questions. You play heavy against them, you pressure them, but they're going to give the puck away. And I thought that happened way too often. I realize you have to give the Blues some credit, but I thought from a Leafs standpoint, the number of times they made a little 10-foot pass to nowhere, and it was picked off, and it was another hornet's nest in front of Freddie Anderson, who I think by the time this game is said and done is the reason the Leafs were able to steal a point.
Ralph, you think we're talking about Freddie Anderson a little bit too much? And what I mean it in a good sense. I mean, he's been outstanding for these guys all year outside of a few nights, but tonight again, early especially, he was flopping around there. I don't think he knew where the next shot was going to come from, especially in the first 10 minutes.
Yeah, although I will say this, Gibby, I thought the game against Arizona, it was a 2-0 game. He didn't have to be spectacular to keep them in it. You couldn't fault him on either goal, as guys were left wide open around him. And I thought the game in Vegas might have been one of the few games this year where not even for like a 2 or 3 moment segment did you have to rely on them to keep you in the game. So I thought those were good signs coming in. But you're right. I mean, St. Louis came out, and you think maybe a team during this stretch might get a little flat at some point, might have a tough time finding their legs. But they came out strong, and Anderson was the reason that the Leafs were even in it after the first period of play. But again, the first goal, and I realize Jake Muzzin loses his footing, but the puck's rolling. But he hammers it off the board, and it's a perfect giveaway, which leads to a 2-on-0 down low and the first St. Louis goal. I just thought from a Leafs standpoint, that happened far too often, and that's why Freddie Anderson was so busy, and like you said, that's why we're talking about him so much.
The Leafs getting back into the game is really propelled by Hyman and Marner. They were spectacular from what we could see.
Yeah, even, I thought the Matthews, obviously when Nazem Kadri went out of the game, Matthews was sort of had a lot of spot duty with his regular line mates, and then he'd get some time with Nylander and Andreas Johnsson as well. But that the one line that seemed to stay together for Mike Babcock was the Tavares line, and Hyman gets a bit of a break. Isn't it funny how streaks end like that? It's not usually the rocket to the top shelf or a breakaway. It's a shot from behind the goal line that hits a skate and goes in. And that's when the hockey gods say, all right, enough. And then same as Matthews. But, yeah, I think part of the reason they were effective was everybody else. They probably got more ice time. Just checking the final numbers now as they've come in. But with Kadri out of the lineup, to see who might have benefited the most, Mitch Marner, Austin Matthews only ended up with 16 minutes and 52 seconds, which I find amazing. Tavares, 18:49 on the night. Mitch Marner, 20 minutes and 9 seconds. Zach Hyman, 20 minutes and 8 seconds. So there you go. Those the two forwards you said that responsible for the comeback both hit the 20-minute mark.
Ralphie, what did you think of Nylander's game?
I thought he was good.
I agree.
Yeah, I thought the speed was there. But what I like about a Gibby is you're seeing him engage now and forcing turnovers. And I think, you know, as much as, you know, you gave him the benefit of the doubt early on in his comeback, that it's still early. You got to get your legs back. You got to get your conditioning back. The hands aren't there yet. But it was the second effort. You're saying he can still, you know, he can still go into the corners and try to battle for pucks. And I think that's what's come out of it now. I think now you're seeing where you can say maybe his legs are getting them there quicker. You know, the hands are better with the takeaways. But you're seeing the second effort. And especially from up top, and Jimmer and Gibby, you both know that sometimes you see a different game when you're sitting up in the press box or the broadcast booth. From up top, you're noticing the speed, like you notice Kapanen's speed or Mitch Marner's speed. So that's the one thing. There seems to be, you know, a jump and a step, and even though the points haven't been easy to come by for Nylander, I think you look at a game like this and say he was noticeable and he was very effective in both ends of the ice.
Were you surprised that Kadri went out with a concussion? I mean, it was hard to tell from watching it on TV, but did it look like one there?
No, I mean, it looked like it was sort of shoulder to shoulder.
Yeah.
It didn't seem to be any contact with the head, but, you know, the head might have snapped back. And I think, you know, the word we got was precautionary. It might have been one of those, if this was the playoffs, they'd say, hey, you know what, you pass the test, get back in there. But when you get to precautionary, it's that's usually a game in February.
Ralphie, we've been talking quite a bit, and it's been a lot of conversation about it, but the back end for these guys, you know, I thought Dermott struggled early in the game tonight, a couple turnovers and some bad situations, but he got a little better as the game went on. Like, what are your thoughts on him?
Yeah, I agree with you. I think he finds a certain groove, and is playing his own end to get the puck out is outstanding once he's in that groove. And sometimes it's the 10-foot pass. Sometimes it's three strides to get to open ice to get it out. But there are times, to me, when he looks rushed, that it's when he gets himself into trouble. And, you know, sometimes it's better just to turn to the boards and, you know, have a scrum and get some help to come in. And I think he was part of that in the early going with the giveaways. I know the penalty he took in the first period, the Leafs gave the puck away seconds before that.
Yeah.
And he got back and had to put the hook on. I'm not sure if, I don't believe it was Tarasenko that time, but it was, you know, a lot of giveaways. And he wasn't alone. Like we said, we had Muzzin on the first goal. We had a giveaway before the Dermott penalty. There were a lot of times where the Leafs had full control of the puck in their own zone, forwards and defense, that weren't able to get it out. But you're right. I like Travis Dermott's game. And I think what I like about him, Gibby, is you see a progression. You know, since he got his ice time last year in the second half of the season, he seems to be on the upward trend where we see so often, and you use names like Luke Shen, maybe even Nikita Zaitsev to a certain point, where sometimes for a defenseman, his rookie year is his best year, and then it gets harder after that.
Ralphie, how would you sum up this road trip? 3-2-1. What sticks out for you?
Well, I mean, really the only bad game is Arizona. If you go to the game of the Rangers, you have 56 shots on goal and lose. I think you can accept that. You beat pretty good teams in Montreal, who were on a pretty good roll at the time, Colorado, who was struggling, and Vegas, who might have been struggling, but they're still a team that went to the Stanley Cup Finals last year. And it's in their building, and it's hyped up and everything. So, you know, you probably should have been a little better than 3-2-1 coming home. But I think really the only dark mark on it is a game in Arizona, where coming off, you know, the back-to-back wins and the power play going against Colorado and Vegas, the back-to-back games just disappeared. And it was a dud of a game out of a six-game road trip. So I think for the most part, you're happy that you're able to take, what, 7 out of 12 points home.
So, Ralphie, let me ask you, you've been gone a while. You remember where you live when you get back?
Yeah, well, let's put it this way. When I get there, my son better have the driveway shoveled.
I've heard. I drove by the other day. Yeah, it's not.
He said, freezing rain, you'd appreciate the hockey rink appeal.
Yeah, no, I'm surprised you were you're able to get through the gates to see it.
The gates?
Oh, yeah.
Gate man took the week off.
You remember, I made 27.5 my last year playing. Like, I invested pretty well.
They are nice. Gates are pretty expensive, aren't they?
Wrought iron painted black, they are nice. Yeah.
What was your take on the St. Louis goaltender, Binnington?
I thought he looked good. And that's why, you know, you talk about the game could have turned in the second period. The save he made off Hyman, glove save he made off John Tavares. There was another win in close. A Nylander, where he had to go right to left to make a big stop. Made a great save off Hyman with a game tied in the third period. That great pace passed by Mitch Marner, the little backhand flip that found Hyman out front. So, you know, even though in the first 20 minutes you thought, you know, he wasn't a factor, the Leafs never made him a factor. After that, I think it was flip a coin to see which team was going to come out on top, because both goaltenders seemed to be coming up with big saves. And in chatting with Darren Pang, actually through text, because it was a national game tonight, he didn't work the TV broadcast. He was telling me that last year, Binnington actually changed his style, where instead of his gloves being more to the side, and you know, we see that blocking style, elbows in on every shot, he's actually got his hands more in front of his body, which they figure gives him, as Panger put it, looser. His arms are looser, so he's actually able to move towards the puck instead of everything being elbows in and trying to block it and then play the percentages. And I thought, especially on the John Tavares save, and there was one in the second period as well off Travis Dermott, when Dermott walked into the high slot, and he made it look pretty easy with the blocker save. Not only stops it, but the perfect rebound control knocking it to the corner. So that was something. Once I read that from Panger, that I started watching, and even on the faceoffs, you can see that his gloves, and it's sort of old style Bernie Parent, Ken Dryden style, where the gloves are actually in front of the body instead of more at the side.
Ralphie, just quickly, you know, being an ex-goalie, what was Freddie thinking on that last shot? Because he kind of looked not like he was guessing. I mean, O'Reilly did a great job because he shot in stride. He didn't, like, stop the puck, set it up, stick handle it. It looked like Freddie was thinking maybe he was thinking something else. What are your thoughts?
I don't know, man. You know, maybe he's thinking, if you get something waist high and I can boot it back to center right, Mitch Marner's got a breakaway.
Yeah.
But you're right. He seemed, you see it sometimes in the league, and it's odd because most guys butterfly.
Yeah.
You know, when the shot's being delivered, and I don't know whether maybe Anderson was going to start to go down and then he saw the shot, but he didn't really react to where it was going, which was, I found it a little bit odd, because all night, he seemed to be tracking everything perfectly. Now, having said that, I think even if he, you know, turns to his right and throws his shoulder up, that's in the back of the net. That's maybe not with the same velocity as Austin Matthews' goal in Buffalo earlier in this year in overtime, but the same accuracy. I don't think anybody stops that. And the only thing for Anderson to do is to over-challenge and maybe be at the top of the crease, and then you might give up a tap-in on the back door. So, that might have been one of those things where the mind was going a little too quick and the body wasn't able to react.
Ralphie, thanks very much. Appreciate it.
All right. See you soon, boys.
Travel safe.
Jim Ralph reporting to us from St. Louis, where the Blues won 3-2 in overtime. And to that end, Ryan O'Reilly got the overtime winner. Here he is in conversation with Pierre McGuire.
First, let's talk about your overtime magic.
Marner's came up flying and beat both of us and started making a good defensive play. I was coming up the ice looking at Vladdy, hoping to make the pass to him, and I just saw he was slowed down a bit, and I thought I had the top side, and lucky for me it went in. It's a big one for us.
Ryan, at the beginning of the year, I bet you if you had had a 2-0 lead and you gave it up, you probably would have panicked and lost. It shows the maturity of your team. How have you guys gotten to this point?
You know, we're a really close group. You know, we stick together. You know, we've faced adversity early in the year, but we keep responding and we keep coming closer. And we get a situation like that on the bench, everyone's positive. We just kind of stick with it and talk it out. And obviously they had a great push, but we stuck with it.
Speaking of sticking with it, Freddie Anderson was clearly in the zone. So you go score the overtime goal. What was being talked about on the bench? Was he starting to get into your heads a little bit?
I was struggling with him. I was kind of fighting the puck with my shot. And, you know, a lot of us were. We couldn't beat him. And we had some good chances early that we didn't capitalize on. But, you know, he was playing great, and just going to the OT, it's, you know, just instinct takes over from there. And it was just kind of, you know, like we said, we're going to outwork him here. And we did, and it paid off.
It certainly did. Ryan O'Reilly in conversation with Pierre McGuire, courtesy NBC. Later on in our broadcast tonight, Chris Cuthbert, who called the game for NBC, will join us. CC.
Must have been a nice call. It was a good game.
Yep.
No question about it. Chris did a great job. And
So there you have a 3-2-1 road trip. And as Ralphie said, only one
stinker.
Yeah. But the bottom line is Boston's on a 6-game winning streak and they slip by in the standings. I mean, that's how things can change. You have to keep pace with everybody.
And, you know, Montreal won tonight, I believe. They picked up 2 points, and they gained one in Toronto. So they're getting pressured from the people ahead of them, obviously, with Boston, like you're mentioning, and also from the teams behind them. So they got their work cut out for them, and they're going to be looking at the standing board in the dressing room maybe a little more often than usual.
Yeah, so they're home now for, what, 4 games?
Yep.
And then back and forth. Then there's another Western trip coming up, Canadian Western trip in early March. So it doesn't get easy. I mean, as we said earlier, after the All-Star break, there's basically a game every second night.
Pretty much so. And they got Washington coming up at home, Montreal, obviously. Buffalo's tailing off a little bit. Edmonton's struggling. But then, you know, they're off to the island. And that should be an interesting game, especially for John Tavares. But they've got some tests coming up. They've got some teams that are starting to get hit stride again. Montreal's chasing them. Washington's playing a lot better, and there's a couple they should be winning in there for sure. But, it's they got a lot of work cut out for them. There's no doubt about it.
St. Louis wins at 3-2 in overtime. The outtime for our network operator's benefit tonight is 11:45. This is Leafs Game Night. TSN 1050, TSN1050.ca, the TSN and iHeart Radio apps, TSN 1150 Hamilton, and the Leafs Radio Network.
Rather than fold up the tents, they'll play on. Here's Kapanen. There's a chance. It's lifted out front and scored! Austin Matthews solves the Blues' problem, and he ties it up at 2 apiece, and the Leafs are back in this one.
And it ensures they get a point in an overtime loss, and because of that, we call it the TSN Turning Point, brought to you by Oil Changers. Change your oil in 9 minutes or less. No appointment needed. Visit oilchangers.ca. And so there's that long shutout streak, which went 233 minutes and 50 seconds. It ends on an own goal, basically, that's credited to Hyman. And I don't want to take anything away from him because he really worked to create that scene. And then there's Matthews. And so, if you looked at the highlights, you'd go, they just lucked in. But those two goals are the result of a massive uphill climb. And when you talk about the Leafs want to score the highlight goals, this should be the template to understand you work hard and you're rewarded. Does it matter how you're rewarded? No, as long as the puck crosses the goal line, right?
No, you're absolutely right. And Mike Babcock talks about it all the time, is your work ethic. And if you work and you outwork the other team, you start getting the bounces. The hockey gods, they start to smile at you. The puck luck changes. And obviously tonight was one of those situations. And, you know, they pressed St. Louis's D, which they started to do in the second period. And you can see it start to take its effect. And, Peter Angelo overhandling the puck, boom, turned over. Where does it end up? In the net. And, you know, Leafs just stuck with the plan. They got, I shouldn't say stuck with it, but they improved their plan from the first period. And St. Louis was on their heels for quite a bit from the last 40 minutes. I thought that line alone, Marner and Hyman, I know Matthews' goal is the same thing, going to the blue paint, goes off his foot. I mean, they don't ask you how, they ask you how many. Just another great example of willingness to go to those areas to score.
Well, and you were all over this. The turning point actually might be with 10 seconds left in the first period. That was the first sign of erosion of what the Blues were doing, and the coach went steaming into the dressing room. He was not happy, and the Leafs understood that and took advantage of it and kept outworking St. Louis. And the Blues game eroded as the night went on, didn't it?
It did. They started to get away. This probably started a few games ago, like you were talking prior to the start of the game, Jim. You start to lose games even though you're winning them. You know, when you're on a stretch like this, 2 or 3 games before you actually lose. Even though they didn't lose tonight, but you could see those little habits, bad habits, start to creep in. The end of the first period, you know, the lazy flip out of the zone to kill the rest of the time, and he fans on it, and Leafs get a shot and almost score on it. And, you know, as a coach, that's your pet peeve. There's no reason for it. There's no excuse for it, so why do it? And it's just shortcuts. It's trying to think it's going to happen, and it doesn't, and it backfires. So as the game went on, you got to give Leafs credit because they were forcing St. Louis into a lot of turnovers, a lot of bad situations, and Leafs capitalized on their chances. Unfortunately, didn't find a way to get the extra point.
You have to love what Hyman and Marner were able to do in that game.
Absolutely, and you know, at the end of the second period, Mitch Marner was one of the guys I wanted to see more from. He did a little bit in the first 40, but the third period, I mean, he was unbelievable. And Zach Hyman was the same, and Zach Hyman's the same every night, every shift. So his work ethic just took over, and those two found some chemistry. There's no doubt about it. And unfortunately, didn't happen in the overtime. But yeah, those two there had a big hand in helping turn this game around and take it to overtime.
Yeah, I was just looking at the shots. Mitch Marner had 5. Zach Hyman had 4.
Yeah.
Wow.
And one of those was a breakaway in the first period. So, I mean, Zach, he had a heck of a night, and Mitch did too. And I wasn't really impressed with Mitch early on. I expected more from him. But in the third period, he probably wanted to just give it to me.
Well, you know,
somebody told him no, but he was good.
You were talking about you know, machine-like precision. That really is Zach Hyman, isn't it?
It is. It's the same thing every night, and that's what Mike Babcock wants from his team. Whether you're a skill player or a worker, role player, whatever you are, it's doing the same thing over and over. And I've said many times that that's the toughest thing for younger players or players second and third year into the league, is that mental toughness of doing the same thing over and over, and the willingness to do it. The little things that a lot of players think are mundane are very important to success in the game. And doing that night in and night out is the toughest thing mentally for any player.
So you're still struggling with the blue line, aren't you?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, and I think tonight they were exposed a little bit. You know, Ron Hainsey, Morgan Riley. You go right down the list. You know, Muzzin was okay. Zaitsev was okay. But Gardner, and even though I think Jake Gardner was +2 tonight, so that's a real positive, and I think Dermott was 1.
Yep.
So that's a real positive. But I don't know. It's just there's nights where they don't scare me, and there's nights where they scare me, and tonight was kind of like one of those in-the-middle games where they do some things that are very good and simple, and they do some things you're kind of going, there's an easier play to be made or a simpler play to be made.
Well, I mean, wouldn't you look at the rotation of the three pairings and try to find the chemistry and the build that where each one is sort of taking what the one before did? And I mean, it's, you don't really see that, do you?
No, and I think it is what it is the six that are being played right now are the six that they're going with if they don't get somebody else in there. So I really agree with Morgan Riley on his strong side and you know, Ron Hainsey. That pairing's been good for them all year. I like Muzzin and Zaitsev. It's just that third pairing. I think they could be a good pairing, Dermott and Gardner. But I don't know how you know, Jake's going to adapt to that. Travis is going to adapt to that offside. I think he's having a bit of a tough time with it. It would be something that I would exploit going down the road if I was an opposition team.
Couldn't you flip them around so that Gardner's on his offside?
You could, but again, it's going back to what he said about Morgan Riley.
Well, I know, but in that case, I mean, what you're doing is taking your best defenseman and putting him in an awkward position. I don't know that helps anybody.
But he's not. He's playing his strong side now, right?
Well, I know, but I'm talking about the way they had it before. I don't get why you would do that.
Right, but that's I totally agree with you,
yeah.
100%. But I think with Jake Gardner, Mike Babcock is going down the same road as with Morgan Riley. He's a good player. You want your good players on their strong side so that they can make the plays, and that's why Jake is there and Travis is on the other side. So we'll see if he can adapt and adjust.
No, I mean, that's simple. Just get a right-handed shooting defenseman.
Easier said than done. Yeah, I totally agree. If they could find 2 more, two right shot defensemen.
Yeah. Okay. We talked about Mitch Marner having a great game. Here is what he had to say post game.
Did the club amp up its ability to track and engage, especially in the latter half of the second and certainly in the third here tonight?
Definitely. Yeah. I mean, we weren't happy with our first period. Came in here, we talked about it. I mean, we're a quick hockey team. We got to play quicker than what we have been. And up to second and third, we played the speed that we can.
Austin described it as almost playing a bit meaner, you know, hitting enough maybe in the first period. Do you feel like the mindset changed?
Yeah, I mean, like I said, I mean, they had their way with us in the first and came in here and we talked about how we need to be a lot better, how we need to help Fred out more and how we got to get on their D-man more. So I think in second, you know, our whole goal was making sure we're coming back, talking to our D, getting the puck in our hands as quick as possible, and breaking it a lot quicker. And as soon as we did that, I thought we had success.
Broken sticks, nice shots. I guess you're going to head home thinking this was a game you guys could have won.
Definitely, yeah. I mean, there's opportunities there that we just missed on, but you know, now we're going back home for a little bit, and we just got to make sure we get our rest and get ready for these next games.
What's making the Blues tough out these days? They're the hottest team in hockey right now.
I mean, that goalie there is playing unbelievable. I mean, you saw how many chances he saved tonight. That pretty great ace. So, you know, he's playing unbelievable for them. And I mean, I think their D and the whole group, I think, just in general, is playing well together. And when you win however many, 11 or whatever they won straight, you get confidence throughout those games. And, you know, you start making plays and feeling the puck more. And that's what they're doing right now.
There's always a lot of chances in 3-on-3, but how did that winning goal develop from your perspective?
Saw a lane, went down, wanted to shoot it, couldn't shoot it, this whatever, and came around the net, saw Johnny, tried to hit it to Johnny, picked off, went down and scored.
How big to get a point, though, out of this at the end, going home at the end of the trip?
Yeah, I mean, that's nice, but at the same time, we can't be happy with that. If we played the whole 60 like we did in the second and third, I thought we could have won this game, and you know, it's nice coming back with one at least, but this is a game I thought we could have got two from, but it's something we can learn from.
So that's Mitch Marner. Is it too much to expect that after you have that softie in Arizona on Saturday that you would start the game the way they did? I mean, you were looking for pushback immediately, weren't you?
Well, you were, and you knew St. Louis was going to come out hard and try to put Toronto behind the eight ball. They did that, and so it'll be interesting.
Here's Coach Babcock.
We did. I didn't mind her right away, but then as the period went on, first they took the period over and played harder, won the battles, won the races. Then I thought we got the game going real well in the second period and the third period, obviously. You know, they had three power plays. We had none, and so I thought that was a factor in the game. I would have liked to see us crawl our way back and win the game. But I thought we did a lot of good things here today in the latter half of that game to set ourselves up for success, and I was impressed with a lot of our players.
How did you think Willie handled it after Naz went out there?
Yeah, I thought good. I thought first couple shifts maybe not as good defensively. In the third period, I thought it was good defensively and offensively. You know, it was a factor in the game. You know, we had some good looks where we missed the net, and I thought Willie and Cap were two of those guys in that area, but I thought he played well.
When did you know Naz wasn't going to be available?
When I came in after the first period, I think it was the first period. So then just, I didn't know what was going on or anything like that. But obviously, you know, we got bumped into. So whatever they do here in these situations.
How do you feel about the road trip overall, especially as you tick down towards a trade deadline?
Yeah, I liked the road trip a lot. I didn't like our game in Phoenix. Other than that, I liked their game every night. I mean, I would have liked to have a better first year, and yet you got to give them credit. They're a good team playing well. They're a big, long team on the back. You know, when you're long like that, you create a lot of turnovers just because you take up so much space. But I thought, you know, I liked our road trip with the exception of the game in Phoenix.
Did you like the club's ability to compete, track down pucks, and force the transition game a bit?
Well, I just thought as we got digging in and competing at a high level, I mean, the game's so simple. Is if you work hard, you get rewarded. If you don't work hard enough, you don't. And when you're playing real good teams, you got to be ready to go right at the start. I mean, we weren't at their level at the start. And in the end, it probably cost us a point. But I still like a lot of the things we did today, and it's a good step for us.
Travel safe, guys.
That is Coach Babcock after the 3-2 loss in St. Louis. Coming up next, we'll hear from Austin Matthews and William Nylander. This is Leafs Game Night, TSN 1050, TSN1050.ca, the TSN and iHeartRadio apps, TSN 1150 Hamilton, and the Leafs Radio Network.
Tavares comes back the other way across the line. Marner there, and Tavares still on it, trying to work it back in, and Tavares knocked to his knees. Down, out front, that one scores! Zach Hyman finds a way to get the Leafs on the board. 2-1 the score.
6:34, period number three. The shutout streak for the Blues lasted 233 minutes and 50 seconds and ended on an own goal, but it was the hard work of Zach Hyman that created it.
Yeah, it was pretty impressive, and Zach Hyman forced the turnover, and Pietrangelo overhandling the puck, and just tenacity and hunting the puck, and that's what he did. And forced the defenseman into a bad decision, bad play, and boom, it ends up in the net. And yeah, it was an own goal, but yeah, like I said, and Babcock said the same thing, and you say the same thing, Jim, is when you work hard, the bounces start to go your way, and that's exactly what happened for Toronto.
Well, I mean, that's it. I mean, if you did an analysis on the five goals scored in this game, the Parayko goal is probably the only pure goal that wasn't affected by anything, and it was a power play, and it took 20 seconds to figure out it went across the line. The rest of them are the result of something, right?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, a great forecheck on the first goal, on Schwartz's goal. I mean, it was push up the wall. Unfortunately, Muzzin fell down. Bad play, bouncing puck, but the pressure was there on the forecheck. Throw it in front, and it's a 2-1-0 against Freddie Anderson. You really didn't have much of a chance in that. And obviously, you know, both Leaf goals. And the overtime goal was just a turnover there and a 2-on-1 situation. But, you know, Matthews' goal is the same thing. Hard work, turnover, boom, go to the blue paint. And, you know, like I said before, they don't ask you how. They ask you how many. Off the skate and in, just because you went to the tough areas. So you get rewarded for hard work.
Well, if you don't go to the tough areas, it can't go in off your skate.
Very true.
And if you don't throw the puck at the net, it can't be an own goal. So,
man, you're picking up this game pretty good.
It's unbelievable.
Quick. Yeah.
Further analysis later.
Yeah.
Let's hear from Austin Matthews post game.
Not to start, we wanted it at all. They came out hard, obviously, and they sent the message. They had the puck the whole time, and we gave up two. So I think we can be proud of our effort, all in all, battling back there in the third and scoring two goals to force in the overtime and get a point. So it could have gone either way, but I thought we tried to, or we kind of figured it out a little bit halfway through the second into the third and started playing a lot better, and we made up for some of the mistakes in the first and battled back.
What do you think has changed?
I thought we just a little bit better D zone, breaking out the puck in our own end, and they did a pretty good job of that too to start off, and they were just in our zone the whole time, and they spread us out pretty well. So I thought finally once we started spreading them out and just shooting the puck, I mean, their goalie played unbelievable tonight. He made some big saves for them, and a big key for us to begin with is just getting on the inside. They're a big team, they keep you on the outside. So once we kind of did that, we started to get more and more chances and scored some goals and battled back.
Was it tough without Naz there, just with the lines getting jumbled around all that the last 2 periods?
Yeah, he's got to adjust for something like that. He's a big part of this team. He does a lot for us down the middle there. So when you lose a key player like that, other guys need to step up. And, I think we put Willie there in the middle for most of the game. And he kind of answered the bell. He did well. And, he's got to get guys that keep their shifts short so they can jump in and on that other line and kind of mix guys around and just get out there and play hockey.
Too worried of winning out that review for bullying or curious?
No, I mean, I didn't know what they were really challenging for. All of a sudden, it was kicking motion. And then I think it ended up being goalie interference, but I don't know, from my point of view, there was no kicking motion, just deflected off my foot, and I'm not even sure I touched it while it was rolling in the net, but I know I didn't touch the goalie or anything like that, so I didn't really know what was going on, but I think we were all pretty confident on the bench that it was a good goal.
The ability to engage and tenacity, was that a key in the third period in forcing turnovers and getting the transition game going?
Yeah, I think once we started playing a little bit meaner, I mean, they came out hard, they were finishing checks, a couple of big hits for them, and I think that was a big wake-up call for us going in the second and third. We needed to compete a bit more and play a bit meaner because they were just outworking us in every category. So I think once we kind of just put our foot on the gas, we had more and more opportunities and played more of our style of game, tracking pucks and going the other way, utilizing our speed and just putting the puck in behind and getting on them. So I thought that third period we played a lot better.
You may not have known this, but this was the first time Austin Matthews scored against St. Louis in his career.
Wow.
Tonight. Yeah,
good. Maybe that's good research. Thanks, guys.
So there's awesome. Several other teams he hasn't scored against, like Calgary and Philadelphia, and of course,
and his own.
Since he's playing for the Leafs, he hasn't scored on the Leafs.
Yeah, but he might have. He might have deflected
it's
one.
It's not officially net. On the score sheet.
Oh, okay.
So he has
they don't
to be.
Count those.
So in order for him to fulfill that thing that everybody wants him to do, he would have to be an ex-Leaf, which wouldn't go over very well.
Not right now.
Yeah, so kind of a meaningless stat is what I'm trying to say. But anyway, we'll move along.
You're brutal. You're ruthless.
Well, I like to circle around. Now, William Nylander saw some time at center ice tonight.
Did well. And yeah. I was impressed with his game as the game went on. And he was going to those tough areas and doing all those little things that everybody expects him to do and win some battles. And I'd still like to see him shoot the puck a little more than he has been, but it was good. It was nice to see, and hopefully he can continue doing that.
Yep. Well, we don't know how long Kadri's out, but if it's a concussion.
Yeah, it'll be interesting to see.
It's not going
to
be a day.
No, it'll be interesting to see how what the prognosis is going to be on that. And I don't know. I really didn't see a whole lot of head contact. I think it was, what Ralphie was saying, it was the whiplash effect that
could
that
be.
Maybe caused it. So, hopefully it's not a long-term thing.
Because he played shifts after that, right?
He did, yes, and probably felt the effects of it and mentioned it to the trainer and had to go to the quiet room and then was reassessed. So, unfortunate, but hopefully it's not long-term.
Post-game sound now from William Nylander.
How busy were you, Willie, once Nas went down, knowing that you might be moved all over the place?
Yeah, no, I mean, I know that they know they play center, so, I kind of thought that when he was out that I was going to go play center, so, I thought we were able to create some chances at center, too, so it was fun.
You look like you had a lot of jump to make. How are you feeling?
No, I'm feeling pretty good. I mean, skating well, and I think chances are there, and, they're coming. That's all I can say.
What did it change for the team there, starting with the second, where you guys were able to take back some control of the game?
I mean, I just think we started to skate and battle. I mean, first period, we kind of let them do what they wanted, and then we started to compete, and I think that was a big difference.
When did you know Nas wasn't coming back?
In the intermission.
What have you enjoyed about playing with Andreas, who got back in today?
Yeah, I mean, I kind of gave him a little bad pass there in Vegas, so he got to step into it. I'm happy to see him back, but I think we were able to create a lot of chances and have great chemistry together.
How do you view this road trip overall, 3-2-1?
Yeah, I mean, I think we played pretty good. I mean, we kind of won maybe a few more games, but I think, take away from what we did this game and, battle back and the way we played in second and third are what we want to bring back home to Toronto.
Nas is one of your durable guys. Obviously, you don't want to lose him for any more than tonight if possible.
Yeah, I mean, that's a key player for us, so hopefully he has a quick recovery and he'll be back next game.
3-2, St. Louis wins in overtime on a Ryan O'Reilly goal at 34 seconds into the overtime period. This is Leafs Game Night, TSN 1050, tsn1050.ca, the TSN and iHeartRadio apps, TSN 1150 Hamilton, and the Leafs Radio Network.
Back up it comes to Mitch Marner as they come back into their own zone. Ryan O'Reilly, Marner sees a chance, draws in, Marner around behind the goal, looks out front, he thought he had Tavares, he is upended, and now 2-on-1, back the other way, Morgan Riley in the middle, and scores, Ryan O'Reilly.
And that was the game-winning goal, 3-2 St. Louis wins over the Leafs in overtime. Gibby, when you were talking with Ralphie, I thought Ralphie had the perfect description. Freddie Anderson looked a little weird on that game-winning goal. And it's because he was standing. He hadn't gone into any kind of a position. He was basically standing there. And I can't remember the last time I saw an NHL goaltender stand for a shot. Usually they're in the butterfly.
Yeah, it was strange. That's why we brought it up to Ralphie, because it was we haven't seen it, to be quite honest with you, this year. And I don't think he was guessing. Morgan Riley was coming right down the middle on the 2-on-1, and I believe he slid. And when you're coming right down the middle on a 2-on-1 situation, and even though you slide, that backdoor play is always open. So Freddie's thinking maybe that's where he's going to go. And you have to give Ryan O'Reilly credit. I mean, it was a heck of a shot, but what I think tricked Freddie Anderson was Ryan O'Reilly's shot in stride. He didn't plant his feet. He didn't, cradle the puck and then look like he was going to shoot. He was stick handling and moving his feet while he released it. And I think he caught Freddie off guard on the quick release. And like Jimmy Ralph said, that, not many goalies are going to save that shot. I mean, it was right in the joint, right in the back of the net. So
yep.
It was a tough shot to save, but he did look kind of, I don't say out of place, but I think he was...
Just had an odd look, that's all.
Yeah. He possibly thought that the backdoor play was going to be there and he was going to have to push across. So, unfortunate, but it is what it is.
Played a heck of a game, 38 saves and on 41 shots.
Yeah, he did. I mean, it could have been. St. Louis could have had four or five more. And you know what? You got to give the Leafs a bit of credit, too. Bennington played pretty well, and they could have had two or three more. So, it could have been a different score. Could have been a game that didn't go into overtime. But, like I said, I thought both goalies played well, but Freddie... He made some huge saves for those guys.
Further analysis, Craig J. Button in conversation with Nabil Kareem on how the Leafs made adjustments to get the point tonight.
alongside Craig Button. Okay, it's not like the Toronto Maple Leafs didn't know that the St. Louis Blues are the best team in hockey right now, the hottest team, I should say, in hockey right now, right?
Last 20 games, nobody has a better record.
They don't show up for the first period, Greg. How do you expect to beat a team like this when you don't show up for the first?
Well, number one is, you know, it's not like they didn't show up. It's just that the St. Louis Blues had a really good game plan. They were defending in front of the red line. And so now it made it very, very tough for the Toronto Maple Leafs to get any traction. They couldn't get the puck moving up the ice. And when they were trying to go through the middle of the ice, there was one, two, three, four Blues right there at every point in time. And then the Blues were able to get into the Toronto zone and be able to really establish a forecheck and presence in their zone. But that was very different once the second period began, because the Toronto Maple Leafs outshot the Blues 24-21 in the second and third period. They had a lot of zone. Because what you got to do now is you got to get the puck and put it behind the defenders. That's what they did. They skated onto the puck and then they got invested into one-on-one battles. And that's what you got to do. I say this all the time. Skill before will equals nil. That's what you saw in the first period. Right.
Gotcha.
But when you put the will to work, the skill comes to the forefront, and they were able to really get after the St. Louis Blues. Jordan Binnington made some really good saves, but to me, this was a clear case of the Toronto Maple Leafs understanding what they had to do, because if they would have kept doing it the same way they did in the first period, they would have had 60 shots against.
Yeah, no doubt. Like, you got to give them credit. They get the point. Yeah. They were right there. They could have won the game. But the Blues go on to win their 11th straight. They haven't trailed in a game since February 5th. It is absolutely ridiculous right now. And Jordan Binnington is just, he's an incredible story right now.
He really is. And, you know, like, they were going nowhere. Their goaltending was porous. It was weak. It took them out of games. And there was zero confidence in the group in their goaltending. And now you see Jordan Binnington come in there. That is the biggest reason, the single biggest reason, that they have been able to put this streak together and get right back into a real prime spot of the playoffs. There was a time, a month ago, that you'd say they had no chance to make the playoffs. I mean, there's a couple of things. Their great play, and then the mediocre to really abysmal play of the other teams in that conference. It's terrible.
Yeah.
So Jordan Binnington, though, they find him, they give him a chance, because they were out of options. He comes in, he's taking the ball and run with it. It's been terrific for the Blues.
He's played in 17 games this season. He's given up two goals or fewer in 15 of them. The numbers looking really nice right now for Jordan Binnington.
Skill, will, and nil.
Yep.
Where'd they bring in the Dallas general manager? I have no idea.
Craig's a poet. Yeah, no, it's very true, though. It's a simple phrase, but it's very, very true. You got to work.
Yes, you do. Freddie Anderson, big night, 38 saves and 41 shots. Here he is post-game.
It's not an easy building to play in. You go away home with the point here tonight, 3-2-1 overall on the trip, knowing you guys competed hard tonight and maybe could have won this game.
Yeah, of course, mixed feelings. I think probably we battled back after the first part of the game. I thought we weren't really there, but we figured out that we wanted to compete with these guys, and I thought we showed up and gave them a really good game. And unfortunately, we didn't get the last straw there in overtime. But yeah, proud of the way we battled back.
What changed, do you think, after the first?
Well, I just thought we started executing a little bit more, matched their work ethic a little bit. Obviously, they're feeling good. They're coming hard and pressuring us. We had a tough time breaking out of the zone, and I thought once we started executing a little bit better, obviously we'd get some offense. And so they're a team that's playing well, and when you come in with confidence, you're going to come flying. And I thought we'll step behind, but like I said, proud of the way we battled back.
What do you see in the overtime goal?
It was a great shot. He did a good move of creating an angle. I thought I had him read pretty well, and he was able to put it bar down far side there. So it's good shot. Unfortunately, obviously when I would have come up with that save, give us another chance to win it.
This game and the game against Washington coming up, the feels are two pretty good tests for your team heading down that stretch.
Yeah, of course. I mean, we want to compete against the best and show that we can play against them. And like I said, we want to beat them. We want to be there where it's fun and go for a long spring. And I think that's when you get to play against the best teams in the league. And so another good test coming up.
Oh yeah, we're gonna go right to the storyline of first game back after a road trip, Gibby.
Ooh, you know what? If anybody out there has the answer for that one,
yeah,
it is a dangerous game. It is a dangerous game. You think you're comfortable, you're happy, good road trip, and you come home and you just get shellacked. So they got to be ready. Find a way to respond.
St. Louis wins at 3-2 in overtime over the Leafs. Thanks for joining us at Leafs Game Night. TSN 1050, TSN1050.ca, the TSN and iHeartRadio apps, TSN 1150 Hamilton, and the Leafs Radio Network.